Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
This is a safe place to come and to explore faith in God, to explore what God's Word means to our life, and hopefully we all come away from this place today having a feeling of some practical help that we can all kind of just tie into our own lives. Whether we're married, whether we've been married, whether we wish we weren't married, whether no matter where we are kind of on that whole spectrum of marriage, which is far and wide. Our whole plan and our whole strategy as a church is to keep things pretty real and to help us all just kind of navigate through this thing called life. And as a pastor, I can stand before you and just tell you real quick that I'm still navigating and I'm still learning, and I've got a long way to go in terms of understanding the power of God's Word. We all do. That's the beauty of coming to church, where you are committed to locking arms with one another. There's no one that stands in front of you perfect. There's no one that stands in front of you having understood all of this stuff already. We are a group of people struggling to understand God's Word and applying it to our life. Isn't that true? We're all in that same part of this journey. So I stand here today and talk to you about marriage with like trembling hearts, because if Tammy were to stand up here and share with you about marriage, it could look a little different, because we're real people, okay? Hopefully that's an endearing thing to you, all right? Because we're real people. I've been thinking, kind of reflecting on last week a little bit, and I just want to clarify a couple of things. We are not... Some of this kind of came out of a conversation yesterday when someone looked at the bulletin and said, what are we rethinking? Like, are we rethinking if we should have gotten married in the first place, or all that kind of stuff? No, we're not here to rethink that, and we're not doing that. But we are trying to rethink how we evaluate and value marriage, how we consider the purpose of marriage. I want us to kind of step back, like that video helps us kind of think about what really is important to us in the concepts of our marriages. Because so often we just kind of get to this place where we get married and then we stop thinking about marriage. You know what I'm saying? Like, before you're married, it's all you think about. Marriage, marriage, marriage. Am I going to be married? I want to be married. I want to be single all my life. I'm married, 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 married. And sometimes we think about what goes with marriage, right? Before we're married. All right? Because that's like the one thing on most men's minds when we're thinking about marriage. Okay? And then we realize quickly that shouldn't have been the one thing on our mind. But we try so hard about getting married, and then all of a sudden we stop thinking about marriage. We stop working at marriage. We stop trying to woo our spouse to remind them that they should be married to us. All that stuff just stops. So what I want us to do in this whole concept of this sermon series is to just sit back and think about it from a whole fresh perspective. Now, again, we talked last week that there are some among us that are teenagers. You're young adults. You're thinking about marriage. I hope that this isn't like a boredom to you. Like, oh man, this is gross. We're talking about mom and dad's marriage. Listen, you think about this stuff a lot. We were all teenagers. What I hope that you gain out of this, if that's you, is that you can start to understand and create that foundation for what your marriage should look like when you have that opportunity. And there are some of us here today who are attending alone. Our spouse doesn't come with us, and that's a painful part of this expression too. And it kind of, as I've thought about last week, talking about mutual submission, and I thought it hit me hard as I was spending some time praying about this week, that when I talked about mutual submission last week, there are some who said, there's no mutual in that equation for me. You know, that's all on me. My spouse doesn't care about submission. And if I'm the one submitting all the time, what does that look like? I thought, man, that is deep, and that is a burden that you carry, and I want to recognize that today and say, I don't necessarily have the answers. I don't know how that's going to work out in your life other than this. God's Word says that if you submit and you live a life of love in front of that spouse, the hope is that they will see God through you, and that through selfless acts on your part, that could be a tool that God uses to speak directly to your spouse's heart. Now, that's tough. And that's not every day filled with love and joy. I mean, that is hard stuff.
But I'm just looking at all of these scenarios and saying this is not easy. None of these scenarios are easy. So we all have to just kind of decide if we want to step back and rethink about marriage from fresh eyes, fresh perspective, and look at what we can do to make it better. I hope that we come to a place of understanding all these concepts, especially mutual submission and how it relates to what we're talking about today, the words that we use and the power of words. You know, last week when we talked about mutual submission, we really talked about it as it's a process of give and take. It's a process where you both have the opportunity to submit to one another. And I hope that you've had an opportunity this week to find opportunities to step aside. To step aside. Because it's really about understanding that you aren't always right. In a marriage relationship, you're not always right. Right? Well, we like to think we are. Sometimes it's that you don't need to be first right now. Sometimes it's that you're not in charge. You don't need to be in charge. There's a lot of things we need to just kind of step back and think about and see your marriage as a partnership. A 50-50 partnership. Mutual love, mutual submission, mutual understanding. And that is in a perfect world that doesn't exist in our society, right? It just doesn't exist. It's so hard to find that kind of perfect world. But that's what God's Word calls us to. And that's what I want to call us to as well. So today we're going to consider, as I've already mentioned, the power of words. Words are often spoken. You know this. Words are often written. Words are often thought in our minds. Now that in our new society they're texted, words are emailed, they're chatted, and they're tweeted. And I don't understand any of that. Okay? But we use words in all different kinds of crazy ways anymore. But they are still one of the foundations of our society. What if we didn't have words? What if we didn't have access to words? It would be insane. It would be a crazy place if we could not communicate with words. Sometimes words are not spoken, like I said. Sometimes they're shown and they're demonstrated. But they're still words. They still come into your mind. Proverbs 18:21 talks about the power of words when it says the tongue has the power of life and death. Isn't that true? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Just think about it. There was somebody somewhere in a room who said, I want you to go attack somebody. Okay, these are words expressing a military action. With those words, it caused the death of people. Some of his own men, potentially. With words, we have the ability to save life, to communicate ways to say. Words are so powerful. And we kind of just tend to underestimate how we use them with each other. We definitely tend to underestimate how we use them with each other. With words, we do everything from order takeout food to ordering others around, right? With words, we do everything from start a friendship to gossip about other people. We do everything from be a blessing to others to speak curses on one another. We express our love to one another and we lash out with venomous words with one another. Some of us even use words to cheer for the Colts. Some of us cheer for the Saints. And I didn't think about it till this morning how subliminally, I didn't get that word out, Steve put in, all the Saints come in. Did you see that? That's a dirty little trick, young man. This Hoosier should have picked up on that. But I got Gary Goat on the front row giving me all his blue. So we're all good. He's wearing his Colt stuff today. And you all we'll just chat on next Sunday and see how everything turns out. Now, to be honest with you, many of you know I'm from Indiana, so I grew up kind of a Colts fan. I've kind of migrated to the Bengals a little bit, but most of them are in jail, so that's not fun anymore. So the reality is, when you come to a game, and I'm totally off subject now, but we just need to laugh. I like both of these teams. I like the fact that there's somebody who's been down and out for a long, long time who's getting a chance to play. So I just hope the score, my only hope is that the score is like 75-74. All right, that's my only hope. And it goes to quadruple over. It can't go into quadruple overtime. It's NFL. But anyways, I just hope it's a great, fun game, and I hope you have an opportunity to share it with some friends, and that the words you use in cheering for the Colts is edifying and encouraging. All right? That's all I got to say. Jesus warns us about being careful with the words we use. As a matter of fact, Steve alluded to it right before the song that we just sang. In Matthew 12, he says, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken." And that does strike fear in most of our hearts. Duct tape would be adequate. "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Now that's both positive and really scary, because Jesus is saying that we will have to give an account for the words we use. Now, be blessed today that you're not a pastor, because as I read the scriptures about teachers and about people who embrace the ministry, the words I share get multiplied by 150 to 200 people here today, and I'm accountable for everything I share with you on top of everything I'm accountable that I share to myself. Isn't that fun? Signing up for missionary work, huh, Bree? I'm proud of you, honestly. That's wonderful. The bottom line is we need to be careful with the words we use. And the words that we say do give us access to acquittal. What is Jesus saying? We can find forgiveness. We can find wholeness by the words we speak. We have the opportunity to embrace God Almighty with the words we use. And we have the ability to speak blasphemy toward God Almighty as well. Again, with the words we use. So Jesus is quite right. Not that he's ever been wrong, in my opinion. But he's quite right. This is powerful stuff. We must be careful about the words. The words that we speak. How we define careless might be somewhat suspect, right? All of us have a different tendency of how we want to define that word. We're coming up on a holiday in which men have to somehow dig deep within them in some way and express words, right? Somebody else made this holiday. Valentine's Day is not in God's Word. I'm just here to tell you it's not. But somehow we have to dig deep within us, right, men? And discover words that we've never known were there. Watch this video real quick. You'll see what I'm talking about.
All right, I got it. She's gonna love it. Let's go.
Whoa, how'd you find a card so fast?
I'm a speaker of lady language. I hear their voices in my head, much like Beethoven heard music.
No, I think those are just voices.
Either way, I've got a card, and you don't.
I'm trying to find one with the right words. I can't find one that really describes how I feel.
Here, this one.
This one. This is the one.
Yeah.
Okay. Sugar is sweet and so is honey. I bought you this card because I had no money.
That is so you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it's not. It's not me.
What are you trying to say?
I need a card that says, "I don't deserve you. I never have, and I never will. From the moment that I first saw you, I knew that I wanted to be with you, to know you, to understand you. I am humbled that you chose me. I have married out of my league, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't recognize that fact. And I've never taken our vows lightly. What do I say to the mother of my children, my best friend, my soulmate? I love you can just sound so cliche and trite, but it's the only words that I know. I love you." I mean, that would be a card, you know? That would be a card that I'd want to buy. What's the matter? What happened?
Don't look at me!
Okay.
Well, look away!
I have... What's the matter?
It's like I'm a swimming pool, and your words are like cannonballs landing. Pull yourself together, man. Attention, everybody. We are in the presence of a true wordsmith.
No, we're not.
Allow his words to be the wings on which your cards fly.
No, no.
I want what he's having.
Okay, we need to go. We need to go right now.
I've got an idea. We'll get those cards that are blank on the inside, and we'll write your words on them, and then we'll give them to our ladies. But we have to write in calligraphy.
I'm just going to take your card.
Wait. What was that part about the true soulmates? I need a pen. I'm going to write this down. That stuff is gold. That'll give me a whole Sunday of football.
Words. I always struggle with that whole process of expressing words in the right way. I have a communications degree, and yet I sometimes just misunderstand and don't give enough time and energy to the words I use. Are you with me on that? I mean, seriously, you come home, you've given all the words that you possibly can at work, right? You've done all that you can. Some of you stay home with little ones and you're talking language that you don't want to talk anymore, right? And you're spent. And it's the best time of the day to try to give more words and you've got nothing left. I think I've shared this with you before. Women have this tendency to need to express somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,500 words a day, right? I mean, you've got to get them out. It's just part of your female deal. And guys are like, 400 or 500, we're good. You know, we're spent. Just let me watch TV, right? That's just how it works. So words mean something. And in relationship conversations, they mean everything. Words begin your relationship, right? Some ways, your relationship began with hello. All of us did, right? At some point, you had to meet one another. It had to start with a handshake or a hi or some kind of chat room, something, right? I mean, I had to start with words. And then it kind of progresses, and it gets a little bit more serious. It goes into an invitation to be exclusive, and are we Facebook worthy? This is all young people talk, sorry. You know, are we good for Facebook now? Can I say yes? And then all of a sudden it gets a little bit more serious, and you invest a little bit more time, more boxes of chocolate, right? More cards. And then all of a sudden you say, man, I might want to spend the rest of my life with this person. And you do. And then you stand up in front of a group of people. Your closest friends sometimes. And you say words. Really, the marriage ceremony is all about words. Right? That's really all it is. I mean, anybody could go meet a pastor and have a document signed. That's all the state really requires. Is that I sign my name on the bottom of your document. But there are words that we want to share with each other on a day like that. I take you to be my wife or my husband. Loving you with all my heart. These are vows that I like to use. As you grow into all that God intends, I will love you when we are together. I will love you when we are apart. When our lives are at peace and when they are in turmoil. When I'm proud of you and when I'm disappointed in you. I will honor your goals and dreams and I will help you to fulfill them. I will seek to be open and honest with you. And I say these things believing that God is in the midst of them all. Now let's open the presents. Right? I'm serious. We stand in front of people and we say these words. We look longingly into the eyes. We smile for the photographer. We open up presents and it's game on all the time. And we stop thinking about the words we use. Now, I happen to think that we just need to pay a little bit closer attention to the words we share with each other. How we share those words with each other. Quite often, I'm reminded in my home, it's not the words I say, it's the way I say the words. Every mother and every wife is shaking their head up and down. What's up with that? All right? The way we share the words. It's important. Jesus had a brother. He actually had several stepbrothers, half-brothers. One was named James, and he wrote a book. And in the book of James, he talks about the power of the tongue. He used several word pictures of what the tongue looks like. One was a bit. You know what a bit is? It goes in the mouth of an animal and it drives a large animal. It has the ability to take a beast of a horse and turn its head the direction you want it to go. And it goes. It follows. The tongue is also like a rudder on a ginormous ship. It has the ability to guide that ship Even though it's one of the smallest parts of that ship, it has the ability to guide and direct it. He also uses the word picture of a spark. That though it's tiny and hardly even seen, it can start a forest fire. The tongue is a small part of our body, yet it carries unmeasurable weight in our relationships. James ends this conversation, or continues in this conversation, with these words. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the course of his life on fire. That is a typo. It sets the course of his life on fire. The Message translation says it this way. By our speech, we can ruin the world. We can turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. The tongue is powerfully evil. And yet, at the same time, it is powerfully good. Consider his words later on, just a few verses later. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. With it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. In other words, we should be committed as believers and followers of Jesus Christ to not allow our tongues to be the latter part of that equation. To be used as weapons against others. We cross that line when we allow our words to be weapons to be used against others. And in marriages, too often, it's those closest to us who get that part of our tongue. It's like we have this ability to go to work and be all nice. And all of a sudden when we come home, wow, we just let down our guard and the venom flows. This is not a problem that's limited to just your home. Friends, this is something that happens to all of us. But that doesn't make it right, and that does not make it righteous. But the tongue is powerful. It's amazing to me that we would allow ourselves, and I am guilty among you, to find the right polite words to say to a complete stranger and turn around at our spouse and whip them with the words we use. Now, I, for one, need to understand and put into practice, and I believe you'll be with me, the power of meaningful communication in our home. Can we make it a commitment as we're looking and rethinking marriage that we mutually submit to one another, but now we take it a step further and we say that we also want to establish meaningful communication in our homes? Here's a couple of ways I think meaningful communication can look like for us. It offers the best that you have, not the worst. It offers the best that you have, not the worst. When you come home and you're tired and you're exhausted, when stress is knocking you over at work, meaningful communication in your home means I will put that aside and I will give my spouse, I will give my children my best. It expresses gratitude and not always focused on criticism. Whew. Isn't that tough? If you're on Facebook and saw my pet peeves last week, you know. I can look at things from a very strange perspective. And I like the lights turned off in a room that's not being used. I really do. I think that that's biblical. I'm still looking for it, but I think it's biblical. But when we're always focused on the criticism or what's not going right in our home, and that's what we're using to speak about, there's no good in that. We need to be people who express gratitude as well. Another example of this came just last week in my home. On Mondays, quite often, I'll take time to, because I have some time to be pretty loose and free on Mondays. And so it's one of my jobs to clean bathrooms. Because that's not something Tammy necessarily enjoys, nor do I, but I have no excuse on Mondays. So I clear the sheets, and I clean everybody's sheets, and I clean bathrooms, and it's not fun. And I'll put it off till right before they're coming home almost every Monday, right? So when they walk in the door, I'm mopping. I've been working all day. No, I've been watching movies all day, but I'm now cleaning bathrooms. So One Monday, though, I was just a little cantankerous. This was just a few weeks ago. And I did some pretty good work. I mean, when I walked into that bathroom, I was thinking that was pretty good. You ever do that? No? All right, just me. And I thought the whole night, you know what? No one's even said a word about how clean these bathrooms are. I'm serious. I mean, for crying out loud, does anybody smell the cleanliness of this room? And I was getting a little angry about the fact that nobody appreciated my Lysoling. So, kind of a quiet night. I was getting ready to go to work the next morning, and there was a note on the couch right next to where my stuff was. It was from Tammy. I don't thank her when she folds my underwear. That's a word picture right there that's just going to disturb you the rest of this day, right? I don't thank her when my clothes are stacked nicely on the bed and all I have to do is put them in the drawers. You know what I'm saying? I don't think to do that. But on that day, I think God knew that I was in a little bit out of alignment because her words of gratitude didn't make me feel better. They helped me realize I was a jerk for even having the thought to begin with. Her gratitude revealed my selfishness. Isn't that amazing how that can work sometimes? So we need to be people who are not always focused about being so critical. We need to be people who are communicating gratitude. And gratitude goes so far. Number three, in our communication with others, we need to be quick to listen. Quick to listen. We think that words mean that we're always using words, talking, speaking. We can't have downtime. We always got to be talking. A huge part of communication is taking the time to listen. With the television off, listening. I love DVR. The pause button is a miracle. All right? But we need to take time, both of us, to listen and communicate that way. Fourth, it reminds you of devotion. One thing that Tammy and I agreed upon early on in our marriage is that we would never use the divorce word. We would never speak and get angry and say, I'm done here, I'm getting ready to walk out the door. We would not allow ourselves to get to that point. We should be speaking words that remind us that we are committed to one another forever. Remember when we stood up in front of our friends and we had a couple of people in overpriced tuxedos and dresses? Remember that day? We said some words that meant forever. And so we need to be people who are committed to that. Our children need to know that we are in this forever. So we communicate these words. We remind each other that we are devoted to one another. Finally, we always, always, always need to be people who speak in love. The words we use must be spoken in love. That means it's not about selfishness. It's not about gain. It's about communicating through a heart that is beating full of love. Now, some practical tips, potentially, in helping us understand this process of communicating meaningfully in our marriages. Number one, take time to write some words down. This is tough for men. Take time to write some of your words down, especially in the heat of the moment. Find the ability to take yourself out of that argument, and step down out of that escalating conversation and go somewhere and write. And this has been a beautiful thing in our marriage because when Tammy and I have a moment like this, I know what's going to come. I know what's next. Check my email. It's a beautiful thing. Tammy communicates so well by writing things down, and it helps me understand where she's coming at, the whole perspective of where she's coming from. So take some time to write some things down. Even if you're just writing down words, get your emotions down on paper. It takes some of that sting right out. Set aside a specific time to share one-on-one. I appreciate so much the Tabers recently allowed us the opportunity to go out on a date. I am ashamed to admit to you that the last time Tammy and I went out one-on-one was before I became your pastor. That's no joke. 8 months being on the road didn't allow for a lot of that. And since we've been here, we just haven't taken the opportunity. And it's crazy. But I appreciated that opportunity, the sensitivity to that. Now, I'm not asking for everybody to do that, okay? This is not an advertisement for y'all to do that. This is not why I said that. I just was blessed. Tammy and I were mutually blessed by that opportunity. But that ability and that time to communicate one-on-one, to set that time aside and say, I am scheduling you in, that means something. That is powerful. The other thing that I think we should be thinking about and some practical tips here is to be determined to resolve every moment of conflict. Be people who are ready to resolve moments of conflict. When we go to bed angry, we wake up angry too often. And here's a word that we've been using in our house a little bit lately that I'm redefining. Whatever. Okay, whatever. You ever use that word? I wish that were a biblical curse word so I could stand on something to tell my kid. No, we don't use that word anymore, right? Sometimes you get into this moment where you're having a conversation with your spouse. It's like, okay, whatever. My friend James, who's a great counselor, told me the words whatever can be translated, shut up, I'm done. That might be a little harsh for you today. But that's really what's being communicated often, right? Okay, well, whatever. Walk out of a room and never come back to resolution. What that is an open wound. And after you have a series of open wounds, what's going to happen? You have staph infection. You have serious issues. Resolution to our conflict, resolution by using words, is so critical for us in our marriages. So very critical. So what does this mean? Okay, we've said a lot of things. We've talked about words. We've laughed a little bit. What does it mean? I want to see us become people. This is what it means. Who value mutual submission, who value the understanding that it's not about me, that pride gets removed from our marriages on both sides, and that we become people who are willing to stand on what is right and share words of love, share words of commitment, and stand up and communicate with one another. Don't let your words tear your spouse down, but use your words to build them up. Your words are powerful. And whether or not you think they deserve it all the time or whether you think they're not equal in this thing, be responsible for your words. The words that you share, and share them in love. Share them with commitment. Share them with devotion. Share them with God's help. That's what I hope. That's what I pray for as we consider our marriages. Next week, we're going to look at the power of covenant and what that lifelong commitment means that I kind of alluded to earlier in the message. And we're going to share a time of communion, and it's going to be a wonderful Sunday, and we want you to be here. It's Valentine's Day. No better place to be than in God's house on Valentine's Day. So we encourage you to be a part of that process. I'm going to pray for us just now. Pastor Steve and the band's going to come and lead us in a song of God's great love in our hearts. And I pray that it'll just be a help for us to be able to move our relationships from a place where our words are damaging and our words are lethal to a place where our words are edifying, where our words are encouraging, where our words build us up. Father God, today it is a great privilege and honor to call out on your name. To call out on your name and know that you hear us. We call out on your name using the very words that we've spoken of about today. Your ear draws close to us, the scriptures say, as we use words, as we communicate to you through these words. So I pray for us today that the scriptures we've read, that the time we've spent in your word would bring fruit to our lives. That we would come to a place again of understanding that we have got a long way to go and understanding the power of words, but that we want to be serious this week about using the words that come from our mouth to encourage our spouse, to build up our children. That it would be a situation, Lord God, where maybe words have been painful in our past, but we can stand firm today moving forward that we don't want to use them as weapons anymore. May our words make you smile today. When you look down on us and you look in our homes and our marriages, may the words we are sharing amongst our home please you. Lord God, help us. Because it's really easy to develop a habit where our words are not encouraging, where our words are painful, and it's hard to break that habit. So I'm praying, God, for strength. that all of us would be able to stand on what is right and begin again, fresh today, committed to using words that encourage, words that build one another up, and words that express Your love in our lives. God, help us. God, help us. We need it today. And I pray this in Jesus' name, the giver of love. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.